Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Mickey Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts this evening. I will be joined by the guy who owns close to the place, Rob Zarek. I'm not sure if he is back yet. He said he'd be running just a tad late. Had some technical difficulties right before the show, naturally. So I'm just happy to be here with you guys. It's been a very, very busy time since we returned from the SuperCon. And there he is.
I'm here. I didn't know if I should bring myself on or what I should do. I was nervous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how would I know when you were already? I really wasn't.
I'm always ready. I'm ready to join in the fun.
That's right. Well, I'm glad. I was just saying to everyone, it's been a crazy evening, some technical difficulties, naturally, as well as, you know, being very, very, very busy since we've returned from the SuperCon 6. So,
I think also very tired. Very tired also. It's probably great.
Yeah. Well, I have slept a lot. I just can't seem to get myself back normal. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I missed what you said.
I said I just can't seem to get myself back to normal.
Me neither. See, I mean, like, just fell asleep there.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, it was like, I fell asleep. I've been tired. I think because you're used to staying up, and I am not. And we were up Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I think for every day you're up, it takes 3 to recover. So I'm on a 9-day. I'm pretty sure that's not how the math works. It's science.
Right, I don't think
so. You can't fight science. And, I'm pretty sure it's a 3-day recovery for every 1 day you're up, 24 hours. So, and then there's some kind of, like, multiplication. If it's 3 straight days, it gets worse. And, you know, I don't know the whole science behind it, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be tired until December.
Wow, really? December?
I think so, because I think it's like 3 days for every 1 day you're up. And then there's a multiplication factor when it's 3 straight days.
Oh, my. Oof.
I don't know. It could be, though. But what's wrong with me? I'm used to being awake, and how come I'm not now? I've been, like, needing 20-minute naps, like, every 40 minutes.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
I have no comment.
Right.
But, it was a great time. It was super, obviously. It has to be super because it's SuperCon. And everyone had a good time. The attendance was way up. People had to find and make auxiliary parking plans because we were that parked up. And we have the event going on again next year, which was going to be the 1st and 2nd of November. And we have like a 90, I don't know the correct math on it. So I'm going to say 98% return rate when it comes to vendors and guests. So, you know, if that goes to show you it was good, then, you know, I think that's an indicator is when like 98% of the people are coming back. And the other couple that are not is because they have schedule conflicts. You know, that or they're lying.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. They could be
lying.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know.
They could be like, yeah, we got something going on. We can't come. So
okay.
I don't know if they're actually SF or they're just dirty liars. But regardless, there's still a high percentage of people coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes, very much so.
Awesome. And the best part about the thing that I enjoyed is there's a lot of people who are like, hey, we can't make it this year. We're coming next year. And, you know, I hold people accountable for their words. You know, so.
Oh, yes, you do. For real.
Yeah, so if anyone said to me, hey, I can't make it this year, I'm definitely coming next year, you better show up. You know, because if not, it's going to be a big issue.
Right.
And
sure.
I will badger you, leave you messages publicly and privately until you actually just break down and cry and have to come.
Yeah,
because,
exactly.
You know, that will happen.
For sure.
So, you know, when you take that into effect, account, I mean, with the return rate, there's going to be just a ton of vendors and guests. So
I know,
I'm excited,
right?
For next year.
It's going to be insane.
And this year was insane. So figure, you know, we'll have 4 vending rooms next year, not just 3.
It'll be super insane.
It'll be, yeah, super crazy. Crazy SuperCon.
Mm-hmm.
The
yeah,
Superest
I don't think
con?
You can call it the crazy con.
No. I don't know, though. You'll be there.
No,
oh,
that
was a... Yeah, I know. You can't say anything back because we're on air. So now I have to... The only downside is I anticipate 47 minutes or whatever, the response, and it's going to be a killer. So I probably shouldn't have done that because I'm going to be dreading it.
Yeah. As much as true.
Yeah. It'll give you ample time to think of, like, the perfect response. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, the convention was good. The investigation was great. We had a chance to live stream the night after. And go back and, you know, it was one of those things that we're like, all right, we're going to stream. And it was like 4:00. And then we like decided to like take our time and eat and nap and stuff. And then by 10:00, like, oh God, we get there and go investigate. And there was like a lot of things happening. So it was really cool. And, you know, we actually had the building to ourselves compared to sharing it with hundreds and hundreds of people. You know, and there was a lot of interesting stuff that always happens there. So it was fun to investigate. And, you know, I think wit-wise, on that third day of being up, you know, it's not the... Your questions are probably subpar and stuff, but...
Probably. Yeah.
You ask who's there, you know, 14, 15 times. You're like, wait a minute, I think I've already asked that. You're like, yeah, you have, you know.
But I think that we do that
times.
Naturally anyway. Like, that's just something that we all do.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
we ask multiple
sleep.
Times, you know. Yeah, it's kind of a rule of thumb, perhaps.
Yeah, you're like, hey, I don't know if I already asked this or not, but, you know, can you tell me your name? And then, like, 3 minutes later, try to be smooth and say it again, you know, but
exactly.
The lack of sleep, I think, is really, though I think there was a time that I made like a stupid, funny comment and I laughed really hard and it was dumb. And at the time I'd have been like, yeah, that was stupid. But to me, at the moment, it was funny.
You were like,
because,
brilliant.
It was. It had to do with the carpet being on fire, and your carpet was not on fire. I think we were talking about the flashlights and coming up with different names because somebody
didn't
know what a flashlight
is. Yeah,
that
totally makes no sense.
It
makes
no
sense whatsoever.
It made sense. There was a general tie-in. It wasn't just like, hey, yeah, the carpet's on fire, and I started laughing because that would qualify me for the crazy con. There was a natural tie-in there. I don't remember what it was. I think it's...
if you say so.
I do say so.
I don't. I think you were just like, you were the top candidate for entry to the crazy house.
Right. I just walked into the room like, hey, the carpet's on fire, and just started cracking up to the point where I almost peed myself.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
crazy. that's your version of what transpired, but I do think there was some sort of like tie in there with a flashlight. We'll have to go back
maybe
and review that.
We might have to.
Yeah, I don't know.
We just might have to do that. I'm not
it
sure.
It could be
a useless
use of time, though. I I'm known to take my time and kind of sometimes use it in like
waste
the
it on
least.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to prove a point or something of that nature.
You call
like,
it use.
Why are you
I
spending?
Call it waste.
Right.
But
yeah. We'll have a meeting. You'll say, "Can we get back together and say like an hour?" And then I spent the whole hour like trying to find something just to prove you wrong. And you're like, "Well, that was clearly a waste of time."
Like, wow, that
was actually
really a great use of time there, buddy.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
Pretty much. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Unless I can't
believe
prove
our
my
guest
point.
Is here. Right, and that is what usually always transpires. But
I don't really like the way that segued out. But okay, we'll deal with that. I guess.
I think it was brilliant. It was very masterful. I think it was beautiful put together. Yes. So, would you like to introduce our guest, and we can bring him on live?
You know what? You always put me on a spot, and I always want to say no. And I will.
But you can't do that. You're going to introduce our guest.
I don't know why I have to, but let's bring on. We got Justin Brown, and he's great, you know. And I've watched his stuff. He can, you know, go over everything that he does, but he always has real thoughtful topics. And you know, we have some stuff we're going to share tonight, and I'm excited to have him on.
Well, he is here.
So hopefully, he's
hi,
there.
Justin.
If he's there, that's even better.
I am here, yes.
So you could have even extended the pause even longer just to make me wonder if you were there. Because that's what I would do.
I'm going to reserve that.
Yeah, you can use that at any point. There is always some sort of like, I guess I can't spill the beans yet. I was going to say something, but I'll wait. There's always, when she usually brings me on, and I always have to say something that combats what she wants me to say, you know, so it's just a natural, it's a given, especially when it's later in the evening. You know, we pick to do the 10:30 slot. So sometimes by 10:30, you know, you're grasping for something funny to keep yourself awake, and it's bad. But anyway, we appreciate you coming on tonight. You know, we have like a little bit of news. You know, it's a good thing to have you on, because we really appreciate, you know, your shows and stuff you do, because as you probably heard, because it was only 2 minutes ago, you know, we enjoy your topics. They're always well thought out, and you know, that's something that we don't usually say, specifically myself. I don't give out compliments, you know, so you do a great job, and you know, we want to just pick your brain tonight, maybe, you know, talk some well thought out topics too, to try to match what you do. And you know, maybe share some news with our audience and people you have listening to. That's your audience. So I guess maybe we'll start off with just introducing yourself to our live paranormal podcast fans. So can you kind of give a rundown on who you are and what you do for those who don't know?
Sure. By the way, I'm very flattered that you find my topics and the things I discuss, you know, interesting and entertaining. That's a really nice thing to say. I've tried to work very hard in providing that type of content for people who are interested in the paranormal and such topics. So thank you for having me on, and thanks for showing interest.
I've never said that before. And it's been, what, 10-plus years, so.
I can state that is 100% fact. He has never said that, so we might want to save this clip of this podcast and download it, and just to remember this by, because I'm not kidding. He has never, ever.
So what you're saying, Rob, is I've made it to the big time. I've reached the pinnacle.
So. Because usually she's like, we should have that guy on. I'm like, oh, he's stupid, or that guy's dumb, or his topics are dumb. That's more along the lines of what I would say. You know, so, you know, that's like when – so this is completely like a 180, you know, so it's great. So But it's true. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is I always, you know, I will sometimes sugarcoat stuff, but not often. You know, and it's definitely
not that well.
No, not at all. I guess maybe I sometimes don't. I don't sugarcoat anything. Maybe let's retract that completely. but anyway, go ahead back to your thing.
Well, thank you again. I'm not sure if the things I discuss are much different or original from what other people try to do, but I think me and you and, you know, others like us are similar. And what I think is similar is we try to simplify and just make sure that we're just, you know, down to earth and level headed and common sense, straightforward approach to the paranormal. We're not trying to sensationalize it. We call it for how it is. We're very honest and very truthful. And we don't try to, you know, paint it in some different kind of light. You know, most of us don't know what the heck is going on with the paranormal. We're just trying to learn. We're just trying to, you know, just be straight up about it. So I think that's probably what you appreciate when I, you know, when I do my thing. But
I was going to say, you know, the one thing, and I do agree with that, and for what we try to do, and Nicole and I try to do, is we don't necessarily rule anything out. You know, there's people who are so quick to rule something out, you know, and
right.
Of course, I'm harder to come around, but I do. You know, if you look at some of the, like, my history of things I've said, you know, I'm not as open-minded as I like to think. But there, I do come around, or I do give people the benefit of the doubt, or do listen to people. You know, if you don't listen to people, you know, there's so much you can learn. You know, so some of the topics, you know, you've had on, I've wanted to discuss. And there was a topic specifically that you had on, and I can't recall the topic. I had mentioned this to you, but it made me remember the scenario that I've wanted to discuss, and it was when we're doing a session, an EVP session, and we have, like, our REM pods out, and we're trying to get our REM pod activity, that nothing happens, but on the replay, when I say, can you touch the REM pod, obviously I don't say touch the REM pod, because I don't believe in using the device names when I investigate, the REM pods go off. So, you know, you do kind of think there's some similarities in how we think, where, you know, some people are like, well, that's stupid or whatever. But no, it's not stupid. Let's hear it out and see what exactly it's all about. So I think that's kind of, you know, the way we're all the same too, is we don't really just dismiss something because even though we think it might be silly, it may not, because you don't know.
Right, and that's why it requires further investigation. You know, it's not just, you know, we have to continue learning and looking into our findings and really get down to the bottom of them as best we can.
Right. And before I'll add to, I remember the conversation. I might be able to help remember, you know, jog your memory. But before I do that, for your listeners, my name's Justin. As you introduced me, I'm a paranormal researcher, photographer, independent filmmaker, graphic designer. You know, I do a lot of different things. And it's not all paranormal. I do film productions and photography and graphic design for, you know, all different types of companies and people. But from 2013 to present, I have been spending lots of energy trying to figure out what we call the paranormal. And by doing that, I'm trying to use the scientific method, but I'm also trying to understand that not all things are discoverable or understood by what we know as science right now. But that doesn't mean that we can't make a breakthrough. Now, what I like, my tagline I like to use is I try to remove the para prefix from the paranormal. All this is normal, except that there is some type of emergent phenomena happening that we don't understand the dynamic and the root cause to. And I think a lot of the things that we do experience and see in the paranormal is explainable using physics, but we have to discover what things are occurring, what emergent phenomena is occurring, and to understand the emergent phenomena, we have to understand the factors in place, the little recipes, if you will, that allow this emergent phenomena to occur. So that's what I try to do in the field. Now, I'm very limited. I don't have much money. You know, I have a high school diploma. I try to educate myself. I think that I'm a pretty, you know, sharp guy, but, you know, I'm just not an Einstein. I have limitations. So it's a very slow, very grueling process, but I think that what I'm really good at is trying to create a forum, engage the paranormal community to let them open up to what people have to say from diverse or different viewpoints. Like you said,
yeah,
you have an open mind. You want to be receptive to these people, but some people just rub you the wrong way. Some people just may seem stupid, like you said, because of how they present themselves or how they present their ideas or how they drive their content. So what I've been focusing on with my shows and my content is trying to approach the community in a way to allow them to be more receptive. And I'm really glad to hear that I'm reaching people, because – You guys know as much as anyone else. If you do that and don't try to force it down people's throat and not make it seem like you're a know-it-all, once you hear it a few times, three times, four times, and over and over and over, it will seep in to what you do. It will have an impact and influence what you and everyone else is doing. You know, even subliminally or, you know, some influential way, without you may even knowing it, it will influence how you do things, the way you approach, you know, the paranormal, how you investigate, your methodologies, all that I think is important to do. And I think I need, you know, this is time for me to come over to Live Paranormal and start doing that on your guys' turf to see if I can help in that regard. And I think I can. I guess we're going to announce that I am going to be doing content on Live Paranormal in a similar fashion, okay? And what my idea is, probably from the last, I don't know, year, I've been kind of kicking around the idea of having a paranormal roundtable show. And I kind of knew what kind of format of show I wanted, but since we've been talking, I know I'm pretty satisfied that I think that if I have a panel of people in the paranormal community come on, and I think if I have a paranormal investigator, a psychic, or some type of metaphysicist, and a skeptic, each show has got a different guest, but they're all three feet fit that role. We'll sit down for 2 hours, and we'll have an open discussion about specific topics. But here's the catch. We're not bickering. We're not arguing. We're not, you know, fighting each other. We're learning how to accept each other's opinion, point of view, listening to their experiences, their stories, their viewpoint, and trying to find some common ground to where we can build trust, earn respect, and strengthen the paranormal community through intelligent interaction. So if we do that, then we're doing the paranormal field justice. We're doing something good. You know, we see every day that it's just disgusting and gross out there. I don't want any part of that. Mm-hmm. So,
amen.
Yeah.
That sounds
I
amazing.
Think, it does, but the hard work is ahead of us. I think a cool name, I come up with a cool name. If you want me to announce the name I come up with, I can announce it now if you want.
I think we should.
Not?
I think we're on a roll now.
Yeah.
Once you're on a roll, let's just go.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Okay. Well, I think a cool sounding name is the Supernatural Symposium, which pretty much is a symposium, is like an expo, an exposition, or a panel, or a talk, kind of like a TED talk. Everybody's probably familiar with how they format their shows. They either got one person come up, or they have a panel. In our case, we'll have a panel, and I will talk to, you know, a skeptic, a psychic, and a paranormal investigator, and, you know, we'll have a 2-hour show to where we sit down and talk about, you know, the paranormal, specific topics. I'm not sure about what the first show's topic will be, but I'll make sure I'll pick one to where each person will have some type of feedback, whether it be diverse or not. Hopefully, I will be able to allow each person to look at the other person's point of view on the panel and be receptive of it. And I think if I'm successful at this and doing that, then I think that I'm, you know, we'll be doing something kind of original and kind of unique to Paratalk Radio. We're going to be doing it through live video conference calling. So I'll use Google Hangouts. That seems to be the most stable conference video calling platform I've used and I'm experienced with. And we'll have some really cool graphics on the show. And it should be a really cool experience. You know, we'll have the live chat up on the screen. I'll have chat moderators helping me, you know, take questions and reading the chat. And this will all be happening on Live Paranormal's platform, and it should be pretty cool.
I agree.
Definitely excited. And
yeah.
You know, kind of just to give the listeners what we're doing, you know, we've been around a long time. You know, it's been over 10 years, and we released Live Paranormal 2.0. You know, everyone releases like 2.0 or 3.0 or whatever. We released 2.0 probably like 8 years ago. You know, so really it wasn't like, you know, it was 2.0 at the time because we were already like 5 years into it. And we kind of just, you know, kept the same format. We kept functioning the same way. And now we're kind of switching things up just to bring a new, you know, we've brought a new fresh website into it. We're kind of, you know, incorporating our old general chat room through that function, but yet bringing it into, you know, the 2018-2019 time period, not the 2007 when we started it. We're incorporating the live video shows through our Facebook page, which, you know, we actually have a top 300 worldwide Facebook page for live streaming. And it's due to our high engagements because people really enjoy what we put out there. And that makes us feel good. So we're kind of doing, I wouldn't say like a mass overhaul, but just kind of restructuring our site and the way we function. And with that being said, we decided to bring in a bunch of new content. So, you know, Justin's show is just one of many new shows that are coming on. And, you know, we're excited to have him and the others, you know, as well. But, you know, I think when it comes to this particular one, the roundtable is a great idea. And when I heard it, I was like, yeah, we got to have it. You know, because it's nice to hear people out and have it structured where people are not going to instantly say, hey, that's not a great idea, or I think that's dumb, you know. And that happens all the time, you know, and even when we do stuff, there's technology we use that people completely frown upon or say, there's no way, you know, that's paranormal. And recently, like, the fad has been people just destroying the ghost box. And I was never a huge fan of the ghost box until probably the past, like, 3-4 years. And we've had stuff come through that I just can't explain when it comes to full answers and interaction that is definitely intelligent. And people just are so willing, they don't even want to hear the clips or of, you know, what we found. They're just like, no, I don't believe a ghost box is because it already produces words, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. And they're closed-minded.
But that brings that point. Right, they're closed-minded because of the lack of education. They've totally dismissed the idea because to them it's not fathomable. But they're not listening to the rationale for those who do feel that it's beneficial and not giving it any merit. You know, they're not putting in their due time, if you will. They're just quickly dismissing things. And I think that's why, you know, many topics in the paranormal have that same outcome. And having
right.
people,
yeah.
who, you know, from different points of view to be able to put their input in, whether it's yay or nay, you know, I think it's valuable. Because, you know, like we've all said, and I know we've all said this, you know, my way is not the only way. It's my way, you know, and when we work with other people, we learn other methodologies and techniques that we implement in the field. And I think that, you know, by listening to this and being open-minded, listening to everyone's points of view may then present yet another method, you know, out of that outcome of that, that perhaps someone will start implementing and using. That might not be the mold of the three people on the panel. Perhaps they'll take it and make it their own. And I think there's just so many different ways to grow from this. I think it's going to be great.
Right. There's cynicism is what you're saying. A lot of the skeptics out there are very cynical. They become jaded. You know, the paranormal pop culture has really turned them off, and reasonably so. The first skeptic I have on the show has already agreed to be on the show, and he is one of the most cynical people that I know. He absolutely drives people in the paranormal crazy. But he's very experienced at being on radio shows and being on a panel, so he is like a perfect fit. So I think if you put him in a position to say, okay, you need to keep your cynicism at bay for a moment and allow yourself to, you know, be approachable, then that's when you can use his expertise and his point of view to your advantage without the, you know, getting cut off type mentality.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Right. And as much as, like, you know, just using the ghost box as a reference, you know, there's stuff that we have that we can't explain, and people who are closed-minded, they're like, no, there's no possible way that's coming through. And I'm like, well, how did, you know, here's what we had asked. Here's the response. It's not just a blip and a blurb of radio. It's a full sentence, and it answers perfectly. How do you explain that? And it's sad that people are so closed-minded that they won't even, like, take it in for a second. Like, well, I don't know. It's like they just want to dismiss it. And that happens all the time in a paranormal. Everyone tries to prove you wrong. Not everybody, but, like, I don't want to say the majority, but there is a high percentage compared to other hobbies, you know, that people really just try to put you down compared to others, you know. And it's, I think this, even if it gives people a light and they can look at it and say, hey, these people have completely different views and they're getting along, that would be cool just to say, hey, look, it can happen. And then that can grow your production. Mm-hmm. Hey, they're being adults. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the spirit boxes and the ghost boxes, it's been very interesting to see what it's become in the last 5 or 6 years I've been doing it. And I think that there is solvable things. And when you talk about the cynicism and the closed-mindedness, it's there for a reason. And what I've talked to you off the air about this, you and Nicole, there is ways that us as investigators can do things to appease these skeptics and these naysayers about the device and how we use them. Our methodologies are flawed in a way. Now, when we're listening to the box, we hear things. Some of these things sound exactly what we think they are saying to you, to me, to other people. Sometimes people are highly, you know, you're highly suggestive on what they say. You know, some people don't hear things until you suggest it, and they say, oh, yeah, I hear that too. There's things you can do to prove manipulation. And there's this setup I've been working on, and I explained it to you guys, and it's pretty simple. But it's kind of there's a thing about this setup that's kind of hard to pull off, and it's not something you can just buy off GhostStop.com or whatever. You actually have to take two spirit boxes of the same exact type, and if they're a radio, you have to link them up to the same antenna. They have to be receiving the same type of RF, but the two devices are synced and sweeping simultaneously the same rate, the same channels. So if it's an internal manipulation, one of the spirit boxes' output audio will be different than the other. If they are not, if they are the same, then there's no manipulation. They're just spitting out what it would normally spit out. But what you're trying to do is see an anomaly on one or the other when they should be receiving the same exact thing. So that would prove one theory, that they're manipulating the device internally. Now, some think that the RF is modulated before it reaches the antenna. So if that's the case, all you have to do is run those two spirit boxes into transmitter. I use my wireless mic because that's, you know, the equipment I have, and it works perfectly. You send those two spirit box radio transmissions over the wireless transmitter to the receiver, and you record both sides, what's being transmitted before and what's being received after. So when you cross-check the two, if the received audio is different than the transmitted audio before it's transmitted, then you have just proved manipulation over wirelessly. So you can do the two things on one setup. So I think if we do that, we can appease the skeptics. We can say, okay, there's an anomaly that can be proven, you know, objectively there. We don't have to say, oh, we're just hearing what we want to hear. Well, it doesn't matter if we heard what we wanted to hear. It's different here. There's an anomaly. So I think as long as we're trying to do that, we're doing, you know, ourselves a favor, because until we can get data that appeases the scientific community, the skeptical community, we're just going to be spinning in neutral this whole time, because that's who we're trying to convince. You know, we've already convinced ourselves. We've convinced other people that believe in the device. But in order to push the research, I think that is, you know, what I can contribute to the field.
Right.
And I think that's really, really interesting. And, you know, if we kind of, you know, we would love to try that with you. And like when we do our presentations, and, you know, we just did a presentation a couple weekends ago at the SuperCon, and we kind of preach what we call responsible ghost box or spirit box use. You know, don't let the spirit box or ghost box lead you, you know, in the questioning. And you see it tons of times. Sometimes you can't help but to just like make your eye twitches, you know, and when you hear the investigator say, hey, what's your name? And that you hear a response of hot dog, and they're like, oh my God, they're telling us he's hungry. And like, no, it's probably not that, you know, and then they go from there, and then, you know, they'll hear a color green, and they're like, oh my God, he wants a hot dog and he wants to wear his green shirt, you know, and just build this insane scenario up and just let the ghost box lead them. And I think you need to stay true to form on maybe not asking yes or no questions. That helps, because that's the first thing a skeptic's going to say, where it says yes, you know, that could be so many words that, you know, that's just a portion of where it sounds like yes or yep or, you know, whatnot. But, you know, we always try to do responsible ghost box sessions. And you sometimes ask the questions no matter what, even if you think you try not to, like, that are yes, they could be answered yes or no, but you try to eliminate that. If you try to let the ghost box not lead you, you know, that helps, we find, you know, at least kind of helps have a legitimate response. You know, and when it comes to different experiments, we ran an experiment, but maybe a year and a half ago, and it was funny because even someone who produces ghost box was like, this is dumb. This is stupid. I don't know why you guys are doing this. You know, keep in mind, we have one of those ghost boxes, and it electrocuted Nicole. You know, so I don't know. You know, that's another story. Yeah, we have it on video. You know, so, you know,
I've
she plugged
it,
in and got electrocuted.
And I clipped it beautifully clipped.
And it was,
go ahead.
So it's like, this is like a two-point, you know, a two-part point here is that, you know, someone who builds these was knocking us for doing an experiment. And then they were posting all over, well, we've been doing experiments online for at least 2 years or more now. And this was a year and a half ago. And I was like, well, I posted back a flyer from 2010 when we were in Cooperstown doing a live ghost box investigation. And then that all stopped. They're like, oh. You know, so it was like, it was just ridiculous that someone that we didn't even contact would come out of nowhere and attack us just because they felt like someone's stepping on their toes. But yet we've been doing investigations with ghost box and different stuff for 10 years plus, you know, so I found
well,
that
that's
to
the
be
thing. In this
annoying
field, but that's the thing, right? In this field, everyone thinks that they're the first person, and you know, just because you might be feel like you're the first person, okay, does not mean that you are. There's many,
right,
many years, long time people have been exploring, you know, the paranormal and different, you know, thought concepts behind it. Okay, and a lot of times, guess what, people? It was before the internet, okay? So just because you didn't see it on YouTube does not mean that you are the first person. You know, it's very hard to be a true first in this field and be able to 100% state that without any question. They might not question it, but I sure do. Because
well,
you, we're all asking the same questions. These are the same questions for the most part, the core questions that have been asked for the beginning of time, perhaps. Okay, so with that being said, you know, to sit and be naive and think you're the first person, you know, and that's one thing where people, you know, get on their high horse and they get their toes, you know, they get you know, edgy and they get mean. But, you know, I really refrain from saying I'm the first of anything. But
well,
everybody
else
is.
The interesting part about the experiment is we actually ran an experiment. We had maybe 20 people join in. And what we did is we ran a recorded ghost box session. And there was a lot of people that said, oh, you're not going to get anything. This is stupid. Why waste time? And believe it or not,
I even had my doubts.
And I did too. And I was like, well, let's see. What
because
really
we used the same
minutes.
Audio file. For all
the same audio file. All
right.
20 different people, 20 different locations. And believe it or not, we had gotten different responses through the audio file.
I personally
and different answers.
Even had different responses using the same audio file, same everything, okay? Because, you know, one thing, I did work in medical research, consistency, and using the same material throughout the experiment, one of the safeties and controls that we can have in that aspect. Obviously, there's so many that we can't. But that's one of the things that we can have as a control is using the same exact equipment and using the same exact file. And the outcome blew me away. And I just
so
even on a recorded audio file.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm trying to understand what you're doing with the audio file. You recorded a line of questioning to get responses.
We recorded a ghost box running. So we had a running ghost box that was recorded, and we took that audio file and gave it to 20 different people, and they ran their own ghost box session with that audio file of a ghost box, a pre-recorded audio file of a ghost box running. And responses did differ, and because we only ran it for, I think, 12 minutes, it was easy to look at the timestamps on everyone's files and see that there were different words and different stuff coming through response-wise. Like, we had people, there was one that had constant swearing that just was completely
that
different
was
than anyone else's. You know, it was just,
and
so
I
you're looking at the same...
I used
the
same line of questioning at each location.
The same 12-minute file was being played by 20 different people, but there would be occasions where at, say, the 2-minute and 8-second mark, it would be a different word or a different response, and that was based on the questioning. It was just weird.
So that should be easy to prove manipulation then, because all you got to do is sync up the files with their recording
right.
in the master file.
Right.
Right.
And people are like, no, that's not, there's no way they can influence a pre-recorded file. There's no way that this is going to be any, this is a waste, you know, ha, 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 look at them. They're trying to do an experiment with a pre-recorded file. And I was like, well, why not? If you think it's dumb, I don't care. You know, it's not going to change anything that happens to me in my daily life if you think that me running an experiment's dumb. And then the best part about it was we actually had different responses on the 20. You know, they weren't glaringly different, but, you know, if there were...
Mine were.
...responses. Yeah, so it was just something that was very interesting, and I'd like to do it even on a greater scale. You know, again,
yeah.
and run that again, because it was really
yeah.
weird. You know, even if you just did a 10-minute or 5-minute, and we did it short, because then it kept it where it wasn't, you know, a lot to go over, and it was easy to timestamp.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, if it's
and
any
we
consolation,
the sessions as well. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if it's any consolation, I don't think that's stupid. I think that's brilliant.
Thank
it
you,
was.
See?
It was. It blew my mind.
I thought so,
too. It
blew
my mind. It blew my mind because, and, you know, but that goes back to where, you know, and I know this has happened to me. I know a lot of people have had the same thing happen. They'll have an audio file, and they will take and they'll play it, okay? And they'll hear something, and they'll take and say, hey, I want you to play it. Can you listen to this file and tell me what you hear? I'm not going to influence you whatsoever. I'm just going to give you, I'm going to cut it, and I'm just going to send it. Let me know what you hear. And I did this all over the globe. I sent the same audio file to people. I had them use the same player. I could not have them use the same exact headset because, again, back to that, you know, where you said you don't have a lot of money. Me either. I don't have a lot of money. I couldn't send them all headsets. But I used the same player, okay, the same file, and the same amount of time. Each file, the file was exactly the same. And all of the people, with the exception of two, heard the exact same thing. The only two that heard, everyone heard something different, I'm sorry. Only two heard the exact same thing. And what was interesting to me was that they were both raised in upstate New York. Those two heard the same exact thing. Everyone else, and I even sent the file to someone in Gibraltar, okay? And we all heard something different except for those two people. You know, is that something else to throw into the mix, you know? Is where your ear, you know, where you're raised, what you hear goes into play. You know, it was just, you know, these are the things that are, I can't explain.
I think we should run a recorded file. We should do that for 2019. Try to get like 100 people involved all over the country, give them a 10-minute file and see what they get.
Right.
Well, I was involved with a free app that did that very thing, but it was a very short recorded file. Matt Benton had got together with Matt Payne and did a app called Solomon. And on the app, there is
too.
The Lord's Prayer. And they just want people to record a session using that audio file and see if they can get a manipulation. And I think that is straightforward. It's like, okay, if we're going to get manipulation of audio, this is the best way, common sense, easy way to get it. And for people to say that's stupid is asinine to me. So I don't know.
It's just what you get. And that's why I think the whole, you know, idea of even sharing that story is just trying to prove the point that a roundtable discussion is beneficial because there are ideas that can come from, you know, something like that. Someone might be like, well, why don't you try this? Or why don't you try, you know, just getting that idea out there and trying to build off an idea, you know, or even if someone tells you an idea you don't like, you might be able to then digest it and then pull it apart and use it for something else or use a portion of it. You know, you just never know what the advantages of, you know, doing a roundtable are. So that's why I think it's great to have it.
Yeah, here's the advantage. You don't have keyboard warriors. You're face to face, right? So you have to live with what you say to each other face to face, essentially, on the video call. So it's not like you can drop a comment and just kind of skate out. Like, yeah, I'm not going to get any, you know, repercussion. There's not going to be any repercussion from doing that because it's, you can get away with a lot of stuff. And ego, leaving your ego at the door is one of the main problems in the para field. You know, everybody's competing against each other. They want to be the first and, you know, to come up with the original idea. They're trying to win a Nobel Prize or something, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen if you're not super smart, for one. And for two, you know, if you're working against everybody in the same field as you, you're not going to get anywhere. So if
you
don't leave the ego at the door, your chances of winning that Nobel Prize, you have better chances of getting struck by lightning. Let's just say that.
Right. I agree. Wait. I agree. And that's why, you know, I think that this is going to be so valuable. It gives the points of view of different people coming from a different perspective. And I think that some people would never have an interest as to what someone from the metaphysical point of view would have to say. But perhaps they should open their mind up and maybe take that into consideration, hear their rationale and reasoning and justification or you know, explanation as to why they feel some things, you know, whatever the topic point may be. And perhaps by having the opportunity to hear it from three different points of view will make a difference in, you know, maybe it'll open that mind. It'll open the door in that closed mind, perhaps, I hope. I think
are you planning to also have maybe like a new investigator come on, maybe who hasn't had like a tainted point of view yet, and see, like, you know, because there's been times that we've had new investigators maybe come with a non-tainted point of view and have, like, hey, why don't you do this? And we're like, oh my God, maybe we should do that.
That's brilliant.
You know, if they're
right.
Bringing something into the mix that they haven't been influenced by other people's ideas yet. You know, so are you planning on bringing any, you know, new investigators, or maybe someone who's never even been on an investigation to kind of come in and, you know, join the roundtable? Have you given any thought to that?
I have, and I do that on my Wednesday show called Necromancer. I bring in people who are just starting, people that no one knows, and then I'll find somebody that people knows a lot. And the reason I do that, well, the main reason I do that is I believe we should promote and push everybody out there, doesn't matter who you are, and support each other. But the other reason I do that is, like you said, I want to learn from all facets of everyone doing the same thing. The people that haven't been really influenced, and the people that think that they have a grip on what they're doing. But that's challenging because the pulp culture is full of reality paranormal TV, and if that's not influencing them, then that's rare right now. So
I agree.
Just getting through, just finding people that aren't heavily influenced by that would be a task. But what the first person I've contacted is someone I highly trust and have much respect for, because I try to find people who are objective. They just look at it as data. They look at it, you know, with no emotion attached, with no agenda. They just want to be super objective about what they do. They're not afraid of trying new things. Like you said, you know, try this, try that. You're just experimenting. You're just trying to be data collectors. You're not trying to win a Nobel Prize, win a popularity contest, and be a paranormal superstar. That's not the people I'm interested in talking to at all. So
I agree.
I think it's a great idea to, you know, find somebody, as long as they're objective, they're very articulate, they can articulate what they want to say, convey what they mean. You know, I'm going to try to find people, you know, I'm going to talk to these. If I don't know the guy or the gal that I'm having on the show, I'm going to talk to them on the phone. You know, I want to see, you know, if they can articulate and if they can, you know, have, you know, stand their ground against these other people, because I think that would be highly uncomfortable for them to do that, you know. So I think I know what I'm doing. I think
yeah, it sounds like it. I'm
very
excited
highly
for this.
Entertaining.
Yeah,
it should be cool.
Yeah.
It should be a lot of fun. It should be.
Well, we kind of built it way up, so you can't fail now, because we kind of complimented you. You know, we said this idea is great, the show is things. So really, I think we put a ton of pressure on you.
Dude, that's the way I like to operate, Rob.
I was going to say, I think he works well under pressure from what I gather.
Well, that's good, because, you know, you'd hate, like, 6 months from now, we're like, hey, maybe we should tailor it back to once a month or something. Then you know that's got to step it up. But I think we're...
I think we definitely
built it up. So,
I think that you know that I want to raise the bar. I want to push everything that I do. I make things hard, so I push myself. If I don't do that, I can't. I can't achieve. I can't progress. I don't do myself justice. I want to live up to the hype that I try to put out there. You know, and what the hype is I want to learn. I want to help.
Right.
I want to, be something, to make a difference, not to win a contest or just, to be the one on top of this, podium. You know, that's not me. I just want to do good in what we're trying to do. So I think, as long as I keep doing what I'm doing, it'll be good.
Definitely.
I have a lot of ideas. I learn from everyone, so I never run out. Constantly sponging all the information.
I don't know if that ticking noise that I'm hearing in the background is actually means that our time is running out, but I don't think it does. But it did remind me.
I don't think so. No, we've got 5 minutes.
Well, yeah. We definitely appreciate you coming on. We kind of do like a little wrap up afterwards. So, I guess
you guys are welcome.
Yeah. Well, we definitely are excited. Everyone stay tuned to all the social media and the website for, you know, all of the information on the release date and everything. And we appreciate having you on, and we will talk
to you
soon.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Looking forward to it.
Which will happen. Yeah, me too.
Yep. That was awesome.
It was, and I do not know if you can hear that noise, but it's the beauty of live.
I don't hear it now, but yeah.
No, I don't. So we can just blame him. So that's great. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very rarely distracted, but that was distracting.
Oh, yeah, it was a little distracting, but you know what? I'm so excited that I was kind of able to put it in the background, which is hard for me. It's hard for me to do
weird.
That. I know. But I'm really excited because I think this show is exactly what the field can use. You know, I think that people coming into the field, people who think they know it all, because there's plenty of those. There's those of us who just want to learn from each other. I think there's a little bit of a taste of everything. And, of course, skeptics will appreciate the skeptic point of view. And I do love the skeptic point of view because I, too, you know, there's some things I just can't swallow. And, you know, perhaps having the point of view of multiple people will help help me open some of the little areas in my mind that might be closed. I'm excited.
Well, if anything, I'm a little nervous that somehow we had like a little, what's that movie, Freaky Friday or whatever, experience, because now something that traditionally would bother you did not bother you, and something that
and
would never bother
sleeping.
Me.
What is wrong? What is wrong?
You've been
oh
tired.
We need to like,
this is not good.
We need to run into each
somehow,
other.
Somehow we switched somehow.
Isn't that what
there
they
was
did?
Some kind
they
of,
tried to like run into each other.
I don't know.
I never
saw it. That was like, there was a version of that movie that like the same premise, but like way... when I was way younger, and I don't remember what it was called, but it was like a guy and a kid, and it was the same basic setup, but it was males. It wasn't the Freaky Friday thing. It was something else. And I don't recall the name, so I'm really not doing it justice, nor any part of this conversation justice, but, you know, That was the one that I I've never seen that. I don't know exactly what had happened. I think the one that I had
multiple versions of Freaky Friday. Now that you've told me that.
Oh, I don't know. This one had to do with some kind of relic. Like there was a guy, I can't remember even who was in it, but he was like an explorer, like an Indiana Jones type or something. He brought like this relic back to his house, and then like the kid and him both touched the relic, and they swapped.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the complete like awful.
That's like the total, like, 10-15 second version.
It's probably not even a relic. It's not even a relic, but the guy was wearing, like, a hat, like Indiana Jones or something. I you know, I vaguely recall it.
If it hasn't been made, then you might have a movie idea that you can present, maybe Justin, to help you put that together.
It was just a dream. It was just a dream I had as a kid.
Maybe it was a premonition.
It could have been, but I think it was a real thing.
Right. Well, we'll have to look into it. But, yeah, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of new shows coming. We put out our feelers to those that we felt would really be a great asset
to the
network. And
if you think you would like to have a show and you think that we would like you, contact us. And if you don't think we'll like you, don't
contact
us.
If you can make it past me, you can probably make it past
us. Yeah, that's a good... It's very rare.
I'm 100% the truth. If you can make it past me, then I'm pretty sure you'd probably be all right. But yeah, I'm a hard,
not the other way around.
Cookie to
not the other way around. That would probably fire.
No, it's me. I am difficult. I'm very difficult. I'm very picky, and I very much love Live Paranormal. I love, you know, what we do, and I'm a little bit picky. In all aspects of my life, but even more so when it comes to Live Paranormal. it's truly a family for me. It's been something that I feel has saved my life somewhat. And it's funny because death saved my life, but you know, I'm very picky about it. I'm having sentimental moment here.
I'm crying on the inside.
I am too. And I think we're out of time, so.
Oh, we're definitely out of time.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so, all right. Well,
we will
I guess we'll see you sometime soon.
Yeah, have a good evening.
Bye, everyone.
I'm going to go look up that movie now. Bye.
Okay, you do that. I'm going to go investigate. All right, bye.